Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And again, he, that's the Lord Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." All right, so let me ask you this question. What is man's greatest need? If you ask the average Greek person, what does a person need above all? It's even a proverb in Greece. Igia, panapola, health above all. Some people will say, well, what we need are material things. We need food, we need clothes, we need shelter, we need money, we need transportation, we need, you know, things like that. Okay? Other people will say, well, no, it's what we need the most is love, friendship, companionship. And all of those things are good. Nothing that I mentioned is bad. All of those things are good. But none of those things is the greatest need that human beings have, which we find in this passage, which is the forgiveness of sins. You can be healthy and wealthy. You could have all the money in the world. You could have the best family. You could have the best friends. You could live to be 110 and then die and go to hell. So what? What good was all this stuff that you had? The greatest need that we have, the greatest problem that all people have, is that we are sinners who have sinned against the Holy God, and we need to be forgiven of our sin. Every person who is in hell is because they have unforgiven sin. And every person who is in heaven is because their sins have been forgiven. People think, if I'm just a good person and I do a lot of good stuff, then that weighs things out. Problem is that good works don't take away your sins. A lot of people tend to think that salvation is like a scale. I've heard this from very religious people. Salvation is like a scale. The end of your life, on this side here, we're going to put all the good works that you have done. And on this side, we're going to put all the bad stuff and the sins that you have done. And whichever way goes more, if it's like this, you go to heaven. If it's like this, you go to hell. Completely wrong. Completely unbiblical. Completely unchristian. That has nothing to do with what the Bible says. Even if it was just one sin, even if it was just one sin, and let's be honest, none of us just has one sin. It's way more than that. But let's theoretically, if it was just one sin, that is one time that you have looked at the holy God who created you and said, "I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do." And that needs to be punished. The only way for us to have a good relationship with God is not, well, I'm going to do a bunch of good things and hopefully that will make things right. The only way to be reconciled to God It is for our sins to be forgiven through Christ. The point of this passage today, I'm sure that maybe in your Bibles there may be a title above this paragraph that says something like, Jesus heals a paralytic, or something like that. The point of this passage is not that Jesus heals paralytics. The point of this passage is that Jesus forgives sins. That's the point. So, just to get into context really quick, this is Mark chapter 2. Back in Mark chapter 1, Jesus began his ministry. He has been preaching. He has been doing miracles. And so there are massive crowds following him. He was in Capernaum. And there were so many crowds everywhere. Just everywhere he went, the entire town would come bringing the sick so that he would heal them. And so he's like, okay, I got to go other places too. So he left, and all the other towns and villages that he went, people and massive crowds would come there too. And so it says he had to go out into the wilderness, into the deserts, just to be able to walk around, because all the people were trying to get to him. All right? So now we get to chapter 2, and he decides after several days to go back to Capernaum, and says, verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. So people hear, Jesus is back. So they all go again. The entire town of Capernaum goes to find Jesus in this house. Probably the house of Peter and Andrew, because that's the house that he was in the previous chapter. Now it says he's back in the house. So verse 2 says, immediately many gathered, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. So they hear that Jesus is back, and the crowds are so big, they fill the house where he is. Not only do they fill the house, they're crowded outside the house. And not only are they crowded outside the house, it's such a big crowd that they couldn't even, if you wanted to get to the door, you couldn't do it. Okay? You've been in crowds like that. I've been in crowds like that where you just can't get through. It is so big, it is so tight. You're trying to get through, and you can see where you want to go, but you know that I cannot get there. Just can't get through. And so the point that Mark is trying to make here is that if you wanted to get to Jesus, you couldn't. You couldn't get there. The crowd was too big and too thick. You can't get to Jesus. So Jesus is inside the house, massive crowd, blocking the way, and he's preaching the word to them. As far back as they can hear, I guess. So verse 3 says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. So, huge crowd. You got four men carrying a guy. They got a bed. They're carrying a guy. And they want to get to Jesus. There's no way we can get to Jesus. If it was one person I can't squeeze through, let alone four guys carrying a fifth, we can't get there. So, what are we going to do? I'm reminded in movies when, say there's a guy who's like hurt, broken his leg or something up on a mountain. And you're like, how are we going to get there? We can't get to him. And even if we can get to him, we can't carry him back. There's rivers, there's rocks and all these things. So what do? You fly over. You get a helicopter. You fly over and you go down and get him. Okay? So they're like, we can't get through. How are we going to get there? We're going to go from on top. We're going to climb onto the roof. Maybe go from the back of the house where there's not a lot of people. Going to climb up onto the roof. And we're going to find Jesus from the top. We're going to figure out where Jesus is, and we're going to go through the roof. And I like this, you lose it in the translation. I wish they had made up a word or something. Where it says they uncovered the roof, that's terrible. The Greek is apesteras antistei. And it basically means they unroofed the roof. Okay, they just took it apart. They unroofed the roof. And when it says when they broke through, that's pretty good. They it's a word that is used for when you're mining, when you're in a mine. They dug through. They dug it. So you're just Jesus is sitting there preaching, and someone starts digging through the roof. Okay? And they open up a massive hole and just lay down the guy right in front of Jesus. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, it is interesting that he says, when Jesus saw their faith. It doesn't say, when Jesus saw his faith, he said, "Your sins are forgiven," even though I'm sure the man had faith. It says, when he saw their faith. Who's the their faith? He's talking about all five men, not just the guy who came down, but the four guys who brought him. You're like, well, how do you know they had faith? Think about this for a second. Think about this for a second. Four guys, and they have a friend who's paralyzed. There's nothing they can do, and there's nothing he can do about it. But they hear Jesus can do something about it. And they say, okay, we'll get you to Jesus, and Jesus will heal you. So how are we going to get there? We will carry you. So they carry him. Crowd is too big. We can't get through. They could say, well, we tried. Sorry. We gave it our best. We carried you all the way over here, but we can't get through. Maybe some other day. They don't do that. No. We're getting in. How are we going to get in? I don't know who had the idea, but someone said, let's go to the back and climb up at the top. And then what are we going to do? We're going to dig through the roof and get him to Jesus. You realize that's not our house, right? I don't care. Someone else's house. We're going to go through their roof. Put a hole this big. They're going to sue us. I don't care. We are doing this. We'll pay for the roof. But we're getting our friend to Jesus because Jesus is the only one who can heal him. So we're getting him to Jesus right now. He's the only one who can help. And Jesus sees their faith. They're serious about this. When you're going to do that, you're serious about getting this man to Jesus. So Jesus sees their faith. But like I said, it's not only the faith of the four friends. It's also the paralyzed man. And you say, how do you know he had faith? Well, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are not forgiven because of your friend's faith. Your sins are forgiven through your faith in Christ. In order to be saved, it's not about other people's faith. It's through your relationship with Christ. You have to trust Christ personally. So verse 6, he has just said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who are the scribes? The scribes were the people who made copies of the scriptures, made copies of the Bible. Okay, you didn't have printing presses, so you had people writing out the Bible. So the scribes, because it was their job to copy the Bible, they knew the Bible well. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that they had good interpretation of it all the time, but they knew the words. They knew the Bible. And they're right here. They're correct. It says they're thinking. They don't come out and say, Jesus, you're blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. They don't say that. They're thinking that. They're considering it in their hearts. The Greek word, dialogizom, it means I'm pondering. Okay? So they're thinking, what is he doing? He can't say your sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins. He's blaspheming. When a person gives himself characteristics and attributes that only belong to God, that's blasphemy. They're right. They're right when they say only God can forgive sins. They're wrong when they say he's blaspheming. But they're right when they say only God can forgive sins. What is he doing? I can't forgive sins. You can't forgive sins. I can say if you repent of your sins, God will forgive you, but I can't do the forgiving. Only God can do that. And so they say, blasphemy, because Jesus says that he forgives the man his sins. Now, so we've got two options here. Jesus has just forgiven this man his sins. So we've got two options. One option is, okay, only God forgives sins, and Jesus forgives this man's sins, so Jesus is God. That's the one option. The other option is, only God can forgive sins. Jesus is saying your sins are forgiven, but he's a blasphemer. He's lying. He's not really doing it. So Jesus is a blasphemer. So either Jesus is God, or Jesus is a blasphemer. Those are the two options that we have right here. The scribes go with the he's a blasphemer part. But at least they pick sides. I'm sick and tired of people who talk about Jesus as though he is this wonderful moral teacher, a good prophet. No, if he's not God who can forgive sins, he's a blasphemer. He's a crook. One or the other. Pick sides. So, they're like, oh, I can't believe it. He's blaspheming. Now, remember, at this point, they haven't actually said that. They've just thought that. They're thinking, oh, I can't believe Jesus said that. So look at verse 8. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? So think about this for a moment. Get in this picture. Jesus says to the man, your sins are forgiven. They're silent. They haven't said anything. They're just thinking Jesus is blaspheming. So he's like, your sins are forgiven. They're thinking Jesus is blaspheming. And he turns and he says, why are you thinking the way that you're thinking? Oh. So right there is another proof that he is God, because only God knows the thoughts of men. Only God knows our hearts. So he says, why are you thinking like this? So verse 9, he says to them, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? All right, let's think about this now. Jesus asks a question. Because he said, your sins are forgiven, and they say, oh, that's blasphemy. So Jesus says, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk. What's easier? Now, if we're going to say which one is easier to do, what is easier to do? Let me ask you, okay? What's easier to do? Let's just leave it at that for now. To forgive someone their sins, or to tell a paralytic to stand up and walk? The answer is neither. They're both impossible. With human beings, they're both impossible. Okay? You cannot forgive people their sins, and you cannot heal paralytics. God can do both. God can heal paralytics, and he can forgive sins. Alright? So, as far as doing this, both are impossible. But Jesus, it's interesting, Jesus doesn't say which one is easier to do. He says, which one is easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, stand up and walk? And the answer to that is, it is easier to say, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because you can't prove it or disprove it. If I said to someone, your sins are forgiven, and you said, no, his sins are not forgiven, I could say, how do you know? How do you know I didn't forgive his sins? You can't tell. It's invisible. You don't know. Okay? So it's very easy for any crook to say your sins are forgiven, because you can't prove it. But it's not very easy to say to a paralytic, stand up and walk, because if he can't do it, then everyone will see that you're a crook. This is visible now. Okay? So, it's very easy to say your sins are forgiven, but it's not easy to say to a paralyzed man, stand up and walk. So Jesus says, which one is easier? They don't answer. Look at verse 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. Let's try to think about something here for a moment. Let's assume that Jesus is not God. Let's assume that Jesus is not God. And when he says your sins are forgiven, he didn't mean that he was forgiving the sins. No, no, no. He simply meant God forgave you your sins, and I'm just letting you know. And when it says he perceived what the scribes were thinking, maybe he didn't know because he was God. Maybe he just guessed that they were complaining and saying he was a blasphemer. If he was not God, at that moment, you'd expect him to say, no, no, guys, no. You're misunderstanding me. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I didn't say that I'm forgiving a man's sins. Of course God does that, not me. No, no, I'm not blaspheming. I'm not a blasphemer. I'm not saying that I'm God or anything like that. I'm just telling the man that, you know, if he repents, God will forgive his sins. But he doesn't do any of that. He doesn't do any of that. Rather, he tries to prove to them, not tries, he proves to them that he does forgive sins. Hence, he is God. Because look at this. Here's what he does. He says, to prove to you that I can forgive sins, which is something only God can do, to prove to you that I can forgive sins, which is invisible, I will do something that only God can do, which is visible. Did you catch that? Let me say that whole thing again. To prove to you that I can forgive sins, which only God can do, to prove to you that I can forgive sins, which is invisible, I will do something that only God can do, which is visible. Here's the scene, alright? Here's the scene. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, that's blasphemy. Okay, you don't like that? What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to tell a man, get up and walk? Oh, okay, to prove to you that I can forgive sins, get up and walk. Boom! And he gets up and walks. That's impressive right there. Both are things that only God can do. He forgives sins, and he heals the sick. So Jesus does the visible miracle to prove that he can do the invisible miracle of forgiving sins. And says the man stood up, got his bed, and walked out. Now I know when people are sick and in bed for a long time, even if they're not paralyzed, muscles get all weak, muscles get atrophied, and then they got to go through physiotherapies and try to walk, and they don't have strength, and they have to learn how to walk all over again. This man was paralyzed. And he gets up, and the muscles work, and the balance works, and he picks up his bed. And he says, all right, I'm going home. I'm guessing the crowd just kind of opened up, oh boy. And he just walked home. Got his four friends, had a long, nice walk home. Sees his family. What happened to you? Jesus healed me, and Jesus forgave me my sins. That's the big one. And at the end of verse 12, it says, so, in the middle of verse 12, so all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Never. Never saw anything like this. So what's the point of the passage? That Jesus healed the paralytic? We've seen far greater miracles than this. We've seen Jesus healing a man who was blind by birth. We've seen Jesus raising a man from the dead who was dead for 4 days. We didn't need this miracle to see that Jesus can do miracles. We know that. But the point is that Jesus forgives sins. Jesus only heals the paralytic to prove the point that he forgives sins. Jesus is the one fulfills our greatest need. We have no greater need than forgiveness of sins. Because of our sins, we have become the enemies of God, Scripture says. But we are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, who dies for us. So when we repent of our sins and trust in Christ, He forgives us. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.